Somebody say all the time. My brothers and sisters, as followers of Christ, we are constantly finding our emotional and spiritual reservoirs and reserves drained. We are constantly being drained emotionally and spiritually in this spiritual warfare. You do know we are in a spiritual warfare, right? If it isn't one thing, it's another. Challenges of life in a fallen world. You see, sometimes we forget with all the challenges that we have that you and I are living in a fallen world. Sometimes we have so good, we do pretty good for a while that we tend to forget. I told you, our memory is very short. You can know it biblically, but you got to be reminded that you are in a spiritual war. So don't be surprised when you become a casualty. Don't act like, why I'm all beat up, or why I'm scarred up, and then you get all crazy about it. I'm going to tell you what happens when that happens. You forgot Bible. If you live godly, you shall suffer persecution. We don't want to suffer it, let's be honest. But God says you shall. Sometimes I feel that I'm on a picnic. I'm in the park. Because one day you may have a good day. One month you may have a good month. And all of a sudden I got a good run going. And all of a sudden I forget that I'm in a spiritual warfare. And I must be alert because the devil want to take me out. And we have to be reminded. And that's one thing what preaching it's all about. It ain't all about what you don't know. It's a reminder. Peter says, as long as I'm in this tent, I'm going to stir you up. See, sometimes that which we know becomes stagnant. Sometimes that which we really know we've studied over the years becomes stale. Sometimes that we have learned over the years by many great teachers, we feel that we are now on automatic. We don't have to pray anymore. We don't have to come to church anymore. We just don't have to do what? Because yesterday, we got our full of scripture or knowledge from somewhere or some great person. We put our life on automatic. And then the enemy will come along and say, yes, stay on automatic. Don't get no more. But we need to realize that we need a steady diet of the Word of God. And I'm just one part of it, the preaching part. Study for yourself the Word of God and go to Bible study, y'all. And wherever you can get the Word from, you get it. But be reminded. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't remind yourself of where you are, and who's against you, and who's for you, you're going to add added pressure to yourself. When Paul says, there are some things we ought to know. Know you not? These things was written that ye may know. Knowing what God has said through his written word will embolden you, will strengthen you, and you can actually see tomorrow. But isn't it amazing when you get beat up by the world system and whatever that's attacking you, that you feel so weak. When the reality is, you're really strong. You see, because, oh, wow, wow. It's not your strength. It's not that you can do what you need to do in your strength. You can do what you need to do in the strength of another whose name is Jesus. But sometimes we won't exercise the strength that's available and supplied to us by Jesus. What I want to look at today, I want to look at two men, the Apostle Paul and the King David, and what God used them to write to us about what we have in God and what we have in Christ. You see, God has written this letter to the believers and his people that we may read it, believe it, apply it, walk in it, use it. And what you're going through is real. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm not trying to downplay what you're going through. It's real. It's real. You're in a war. And if Satan can kill you or make you crazy, he's going to do it. See, he don't have to take you out, just kill you and destroy you. He just make you crazy that you can't be used. Yeah, he just can't be used. He'll hinder you. Satan ain't trying to help you or help me. He want me to see things other than the way God want me to see things. See, when I see things through the eye of faith, see, realizing that the just must live by faith. My living here is structured that I'll do it by believing and trusting God. So the whole premise in which the enemy tried to capture me is with my belief system. Once I start believing faulty stuff, then that's who I become. See, a lot of times you are so beat up because you believe in the wrong thing. That's why the crazy preaching to you or some of you guys, it comes back, you already say, and stir up some stuff to let you realize that what you were thinking it's a base thing because the enemy got you where he wants you. But you need to get up and fly like the eagle, which you are. You need to say, I got to get from down here with the chickens because that ain't who I am. But my mind is so messed up, I'm eating chicken food. Because now I'm accepting the pressure that is making me be who I'm really not. Watch this, watch this. That was a P in pressure, right? Don't accept the pressure on you to tell you a lie who you are. But you accept the promise that made by Jesus. Don't accept the wrong P, but accept the right P, then you will be all right. I got promises. He coming back for me. He loved me. He's interceding for me. He went, let not your heart be troubled. That's what he told me. So why am I letting it run wild with trouble to keep me down when he told me don't let it? It will attempt to destroy you mentally, physically, spiritually. but don't let it. Don't yield to it. You believe in God? Believe also in me. For in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it was not so, if it was a lie, I would have told you. I go, but I come again. I come back for you to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What are you believing today? See, a lot of time it ain't that God ain't helping you. You just won't believe what he said. You got to believe. You got to believe. And who was the two men, the great men of God, I say we're going to look at? All right, because I need to show you some things they learned. All right. Okay. Let's go and look at Philippians 4. My. I hope I can help somebody. If I can help one person today, my labor's not in vain. And this is also one of Paul's prison epistles. He's in prison, but he's writing back words of encouragement. See, one thing about this, you may be in prison, but the word of God is free. And not only is the word of God free, the word of God will unshackle you to depression, will set you free. But you gotta believe it, saints. And one other thing I like about the word of God, I can preach it, but I gotta believe it too. I got to believe it to even get in this pulpit every Sunday. Because it's not that I don't have problems, but I too have to believe everything I'm telling you, or the consequences of being depressed, beat down, woe out, don't even want to come to church, don't want to serve God, or find myself drifting away from the things of God. Those things can beset me too. Walk away from your hope. All right, let's look at Philippians 4, 11 through 13, as Paul writes right here to the church. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. Highlight and say to yourself, I have learned. Because what I want to say right here, in this part right here, just because Paul have learned this, it don't mean we as individuals have learned this. See, there are some things that Paul have learned, I haven't learned. Watch this. But I am learning. See, I'm in the learning stage, but Paul said he can put the ED. He have learned. Okay? See, some of us don't learn as fast as others. Am I right about it? And so, there are some things, I'm going to be honest with you, I haven't learned yet. Bruh, I haven't learned everything yet. But I'm learning. Watch this. The reason that I haven't learned everything yet, I haven't been in all the positions that Paul had been in, that I could go to school to start learning. Some things you learn once you find yourself in that position. If I'd never been in that position, I may not even be concerned about learning that thing. But wait until the day comes and you find yourself in that position that you didn't want to be in. You about to learn some things about that position. You better learn. If you're not going to learn, You're going to make decisions that could be devastating to your life and all them around you. Not only are you going to do that, but you're going to become useless to God. So some things we learn when we get there. See, a lot of people haven't learned how to raise no children till you get some. You don't know nothing about grandkids till you get some. So then you got to learn as the generations change and as society change, there are some things you got to learn. We didn't have no internet, Instagram and all that kind of stuff. There was no need in trying to learn that. What you gonna learn at home? What you gonna hook up to? It didn't exist. But oh boy, keep living. That's the old folks say. Yeah, you say that now, but just keep living. I didn't fully understand that now, but I got a few miles. I understand some things that I didn't understand back then because I done lived a few years. And what I'm saying, man, this is good from the Word of God. But if you don't pick up on it, you're going to come in here like, this is a regular thing I do. I just went to church today. And you'll live your life like that. This is good, y'all. God is speaking. And it'll help you. We are going through all kinds of things. And you know what's waiting for us at the door? Death. Death is waiting for us at the door. Now, from the Word of God, I got to learn that death can come because I know if I'm absent from my body, I'm going to be present with the Lord. You see, because of this fact, if you die in Christ, you're going to rise in Christ. And I believe that. Let me get back here. Whew. Lord, narrow it down for me so I can preach it, Father God. And oh, Lord, you're just so good in all your ways. He said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. He says, you know what? I have learned to be satisfied. That word has the idea of being satisfied or sufficient. Now, wait a minute. There are some situations, God, I haven't learned that because the situations to me seem to be so great. The situations seem to be larger than life. And when I feel they're larger than life, I guess some kind of way I feel they're larger than God. See, sometimes we know if we say certain things, watch this, our Christian brothers and sisters who are more mature will rebuke us. So therefore, we won't say them. But guess what we will do? We will act it out. We will act like we don't believe. We will make decisions based on we don't believe. But we won't say it because if we say it, you will rebuke us. You'll spirit on us. Then we'll feel, well, you know what? I just shut my mouth. It's all right to say, I have not learned, E.D. But for a Christian, it's not all right to say, I haven't learned and I'm not learning. Learn to say, teach me, Pastor. I haven't learned, but I'm willing. Are you with me? And see, we can learn together from the Word of God. We have to stand on the Word of God. Paul says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. He realized he's not going to be in the same state. He's not going to be in a joyous state, a fellowshipping state all of his life. Sometimes he's going to be in some terrible situations. He says, I know how to abase. See, there are some people, when you got little, you don't know how to act. You act a fool. You're breaking in people's houses. You're stealing. You're envious of others. You just go crazy. You forget your Christianity. You just go off because you don't know how to be when you are abase, when you don't have much. But Paul says, I know how to act. My attitude, is, even though I'm a base, but my attitude's not changing because I understand. I had to learn this, though. See, some of us got terrible attitudes when we're going through things. We just haven't learned. That's all. Anybody with me? All of us now are supposed to. Are we? That was a great job. And you remember when he got saved? Huh? In Acts 9? Then Christ told him what he was going to suffer, what he was going to go through for him. And he willingly went through it. For me to live is Christ. And if I die, it's gain. Somebody get with me in the house. I got one Christian in here. I got some Bible scholars. Oh, Bible scholars. Oh, this is good to me. I need this word. God knows I do. Let me move on. Okay. I don't like to rush through the word. Now, I'm sorry. He says, for I have learned into whatever state I am to be content. He said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. You know, there's some people get a little bit of money, their church ain't seen them. Their family ain't seen them. They said, what happened? Well, you know, he hit the lottery, he left town. Left town? He owed the church money, owed everybody money. He paid nobody. I'm just using this as an example now. Come on. Because ain't nobody here. Y'all, first you can't hit it because y'all in here don't even play it. How you gonna hit it and you don't even play it? John, what's wrong? what's all that laughing? Did I miss something? Or did I say something wrong? Did I? Y'all, I'm the only one not in the show. But let me get back to the right. You know, I hope I get some joy like this with this word going forward. I thought the word was supposed to be good. Let me move on. Let me stop meddling. Okay. I know how to be a base. I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You know what he's saying? Even when I'm suffering a need, no matter what that need may be, I got the right attitude. Some of us got Christians, we love the Lord, but when we begin to suffer, we still got a stinking attitude. Because I'm going to tell you why, especially as Christians. Because we feel we are the righteous. We ain't got no business suffering. You don't want to say it, but that is true. I serve Jesus. Why am I suffering? I'm going to deal with that too. But let me move on. I tell you, the word of God don't cut no corners. We cut corners. Okay. He says, I know how to do it. So you know what he's saying, Sister Joan? He says, sometime I'm going to suffer. I'm going to have to suffer. Right? He didn't have to include these different states of life that he would find himself in if they weren't going to happen to him. He still was the Apostle Paul. He was still the man of God who loved Jesus. See, he sold out for Jesus. You can't find a man that sold out more than Apostle Paul for Jesus. Am I right about it? But yet still being sold out for Jesus, he knew sometime his state would be that of suffering. And sometimes he'll have some good times. He said, but no matter what condition I find myself in, I better get my attitude right when I'm serving Jesus. I better know how to suffer and still serve him. Mm-mm-mm. Let me tell you something. You may be suffering today, but you dare give up on Jesus. Don't you stop serving him. You start serving him more. Huh? See. You let the devil know. You give him his warning. Yeah, you attack me. You brutalize me. Yes, I'm going through something. But I'm going to tell you something. I haven't learned. But I'm going to learn. Because with the help of Jesus, I'm going to know how to act. You want me to act carnal when I'm hurting. You want me to act unspiritual when I'm hurting. You want me to act like God have abandoned me. What's the use? I'm done with God because I'm hurting and he haven't answered my prayer. Paul said, but I learned not to charge God. Didn't always know this. That's why we got to go to school. My God, my God. Lord, you know, I have to ask God to let me preach. He said, Pastor, you've been doing this for over 30 years, because I was preaching before I was a pastor. No, but I'd ask him every Sunday, Lord, can I preach today? Even after studying the Word of God, I still got to do that. It's not automatic for me. Please don't think that. I know how special his word is, how holy his word is. And I know I'm not all that. But I'm willing. So God, I'm willing if you can use me. He says, I know how to do this thing. I've learned both to be full and hungry. And let me get right down here, both to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Watch this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, a lot of times people go to this verse and sometimes they take it out of context. But if you follow the context in which we follow, he's telling us, I got to the ED of learned because I was helped. I received help. I received strength to do it. So he's letting the cat out of the bag. Where you are weak, God is strong. Danny, where he said, Lord, I want to do it, but I find myself not doing it when I know I'm supposed to do it. I'm weak. I'm trying to learn. Well, he said, have you learned yet? You got help. He said, in order to do the thing I'm doing that I did with you, in order for me to learn my lessons of life, I didn't do it by my lonesome. I didn't do it by myself. I call on Jesus. And Jesus strengthened me. Jesus gave me the energy. Jesus gave me the power that I could get an A+ in life lessons, life suffering, life abasing me. See, I'm going to tell you something here. The enemy don't like it. When he put heat on you and you don't lay down and give up, that you don't walk around with a stinking attitude because he done beat you up. He don't like that. Because he's wondering now, because he's doing it to hurt you, Sheila. He's doing it to destroy you, destroy your faith and all of these kind of things, to make you sin against God, all of these things, that's like he did in the garden. See, he has a purpose, because he knows if he puts you in the right state, you may do anything. But when you understand, yeah, something may happen that I'm not in the state that I need to be. I'm not in the condition. I'm in prison. But my soul is free in Jesus. One of the things that we need to know, and that Paul had going for himself too, Galatians 2:20. You put that up there for me, Steve. Well, I can get it myself here. Okay, look at this. Paul knew this about himself as a Christian. You and I need to know this about ourselves as a Christian. I have been crucified with Christ. I need to know that. If I'm going to learn the lessons that Christ wants me to learn, I need to know what happened to me in the past when I came into this new life, Jesus, when he made me a new creature. God is now letting you see the process of how this thing took place, the new creation in Christ Jesus. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. See, our problem is we still living and still running the show, and Christ ain't running it. See, Christ want to infuse you, man, woman, boy, or girl. Oh, he already is in you. You crucified with him. Oh, man. That you trying to let keep living? He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I. That's the middle letter in sin. That I gets in the way. Yeah, I would do this, but I got this I need to do today. I got this. Oh, okay, you keep with the I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives. Wow. I got a new life I'm living. Walk in the newness of life. If you have the newness of life, since you've been born again, since you've been made a new creation, he's now walking it, live in it. No longer, don't keep living in the old. You've been made new now. I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's where his help come from. He said, let me tell you something. It's me in Christ. Huh? Now watch this. If me and Christ going through this situation, and Christ, didn't Christ say, all power is given to me, both in heaven and on earth? Where is Christ in you, the hope of glory? He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. I know I'm in the flesh, this fleshly body. I know it because it wars against me. The world system, the devil in my flesh, my worst enemy in my flesh. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. That's the key. I can preach my heart out, but if you're not willing to put your faith in the word of God, you're going to be miserable all your life because you say you believe, you say you're a believer, but you really don't believe. He said, I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Watch this. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me tell you something. He didn't give himself for you before he loved you. Oh, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loves me. So you got to tell your enemy, you can kick me, you can knock me down, and I may go into my little attitudes, but one thing I know, he loved me. He died for me. And it's something, see, love will lift you up. Love, Brother Parker, when you down, you come from work, and you down, and things ain't working right at the shipyard. Amen. And you're a supervisor. Yeah, your men ain't acting right. You come home, and you down, and y'all got to get this work out. Things ain't happening. You just down, and your boss done got on you. You know, and you're like, man, you all messed up. But then you see Arlene at the door. And how you two became one in marriage. And she can feel what you feel. She know when you hurt. And she's not coming to you that you can wallah in your hurt. But she's coming with that love that she may lift you up, that she may undergird you, that she may strengthen you, that she may tell you, it's all right, baby. You're going to make it. You all right. Y'all ain't with me. Y'all ain't with me this morning. God will test you. God will permit you to be tested. Sometimes we don't know what we would do until we're put in the position. You talk a good game. Yeah. You're talking real good because you abounding now. Let me see how you will perform when you are abased. You got a situation that humble you. How you do then? Where you get your strength from then? How you go on then? I'm watching you. You on display. You know, I had a lot of, a few of my pastor friends. They're some good brothers, all of them. But I had a few of them tell me, the big brothers say, we are watching you. Yeah, yeah. And I know what they're talking about with the situation with my wife. They say, all of us are watching you because we have wives. We don't know what's going, you know, but we are watching you, man. These are pastors. I said, pray for me. Just pray for me. I said, you know, praise the Lord. I hope I can be a good example. But first and foremost to God. And you know what helped me when I get down sometime? I say to myself, I know what my wife would do for me. It's just that I say, and being a man, I know I could be honorary. It would be harder. I say, but not only do I know what she would do, the best that she could for me. I saw when I was lonely. I saw when I needed a strong wife to help me out with my mom. I saw this girl come in and take that pressure off of me and see to her having a nice home, moving them from one place. She could go, she had such a spirit, she could walk into places where people couldn't get stuff, but Vanessa could go in there grinning and get it. She could move. She was a mover and a shaker. So I got it. She had such a confidence. And then I could back up, work, and take care of my family. I ain't had to worry about my mom, because Vanessa took care of it. Those legal things she had to deal with, Vanessa did it. And when her mom got sick, I was already set. Because she talked to her mom every day. Ernestine would call. And I would, I said, I'm already set with these rooms here to bring your mom here. Ain't no ifs, ands about it. Because I saw what you did when I brought my mom home. I said, we are set up. She coming right in here. Ain't no need going to no. Because I know your heart. I know what you want to do. So the room is already ready. But God took her home from the hospital. And God let us be the ones that go to the house and take her to the hospital. And we called the other siblings. Matter of fact, the house that her mother got when she moved from around all them grandkids and that was running to death, Vanessa got that house. Vanessa went right in there and talked to them people. Before you know it, boom, she got the house. She was just that way. And so I'm saying, when I look at what I have as a beautiful wife and how she strengthened me. You know, I look good at the gates. Y'all Bible scholars supposed to get that now. I know some people, you know, but you're supposed to get that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Proverbs 31. No, she mean. She make me look good. Amen. I'm saying that because we got to get real with life. We can't be doing all that phony mess and try to serve God. We getting real blows. Them blows we getting hit with, them fiery dots are real, John. Now, let's not make that stuff a cartoon. Folk committing suicide and all kind of mess right in our face. And some people right here be sitting here depressed, about to lose their minds. Where so-and-so at? Have you been watching how depressed they been? They probably didn't tell you their situation, their problem. Folk don't talk to people. But them people been depressed for a minute. I want to lift you up. I want you to know you may be down, but you can know how to act. Because you ain't by yourself. It's Christ in you. Hey, the life that you live right now is Christ in you. And he would infuse the power, the strength to give you the help that you need. You better believe him. You better stop faking it. You better really, 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 really believe him. Stop faking it and really believe him. Let me move now. I want to say this for one point, my first point is, the Apostle Paul learned some things about Christ's faithfulness. When you feed on it, you will find nourishment and strength for today and bright hope or tomorrow. Let's go to King David, another man after God's own heart. Now, it's believed when David wrote Psalms 37, he was in his old age, and some believe he was preparing some things for Solomon, his son that was going to follow him. But basically we're going to look at verse 1 through 11. When you get a chance, you read the whole book. For our hearing, I'm just looking at a few things here. The Lord, he brought out that the Lord can be trusted. David gave one negative instruction. Don't fret, all right? And four positive instructions. Trust in the Lord, verse 3. Delight in the Lord, verse 4. Commit yourself to the Lord, verse 5 and 6. And look at this one he gives. And rest in the Lord. Let's read it. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. See, this is an age-old question. Why do the righteous suffer and the wicked seem to prosper? You know, Asaph, Psalm 73, he had that same situation. And some of us, to be honest, we got the same situation. He said, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down, like the grass, wither as the green herbs. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Now this is what we normally miss, this one right here. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Highlight that. Normally we hit those four, the other points, but we miss this. See, Christ is faithful. David is saying, when I look over my life, I'm an older man now, but when I look back, God was faithful. He was faithful to Moses. Let his sister put him in the swamp. Take him, watch him go to Pharaoh's daughter. Didn't have Pharaoh's daughter to call his mama to breastfeed him. And then let him grow up to be the deliverer. David could say, when you look back at God, he's been faithful to us. He's taken us from under the whip of our taskmasters. Realize that God is able to take you from under the whip of your taskmasters. But you got to feed on his faithfulness. You see, a baby, he need to feed on his mother's milk if he's going to get strength or some type of formula that would do similar to mother's milk. But he got to have something he's feeding on if he's going to receive strength. See, folk want strength, but they don't want to feed on the word of God. See, if you're going to get strength for today's problem, ask yourself, what are you feeding on? And why do you believe whatever you're feeding on going to help you with today's problem if it's not the right thing? See, everything you feed on don't make you stronger. You feed on negativity, it's going to destroy you. It's going to keep you jumping. It's going to keep you out of the will of God. See, when you got Jesus, you got something to be positive about. You got someone who loved you, gave himself for you. You got to believe it. You got to hold on to it. You got to know that you know that you know that you know this. You can't play with it because the enemy is not playing with you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to cut your head off. He don't care nothing about you. Know what I mean? He wants you to blame God for what you're going through. He said, but feed. David said, feed on his faithfulness. Man, his compassions fail not. His mercies new every morning. Eileen, ain't that right? Isn't that right, Miss Eileen? Huh? You got up another day. You receive another birthday. And every birthday you receive is because of his mercy. His compassion didn't fail one day. Matter of fact, you don't live by your refrigerator and freezer full of food, but you and I live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That means for 67 years, every day, Pat, God said, let Rick live. Let Rick live. Day one, let him live. Day two, 67 years. God spoke it. Let him live. Let him live. Don't, deaf angel, don't go get him yet. I'm not through with him yet. That boy got to preach my word. And he'll preach under pressure. He'll preach my word. I saw him in his mother's womb before he was put there. There was a purpose on his life. But will you surrender? Will you surrender? Don't blame God because you won't trust him. Don't blame God because you won't feed. Feed on his faithfulness. You could have been dead, but you ain't. How many wrecks? Let me move on. We heard from the apostle who was so loud. David, a man after God's own heart. And the Holy Ghost is a writer of scripture and a writer about that brother. I know I'm right about that. So the Holy Ghost used David as an ink pen to write scripture. He said, now feed on his faithfulness. Wait a minute. Feed on his word. But right here, David said, go back, y'all. Israel, go back. Obey him when you're in the land. Because if you don't obey him when you're in the land, he going to bring famine and he's going to whoop you. If you keep on not obeying him, he going to put you in captivity. So you got to do what God would tell you to do. You can't say you belong to God. You can't say he's the master. He's the boss. He's God all by himself. And you won't serve him. We serve God as he wanted to be served, not as we want to serve him. We want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Now he says, now trust, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. I would hate to think I'm not getting the desires of my heart because I really don't delight myself first and foremost in the Lord. 5, commit your way to the Lord. Have you committed your life and the things you want to do? Have you committed that to the Lord? Have you presented before the Lord? Because sometimes when you present those things before the Lord, he may sift through those things, and you are sitting there waiting for an answer. I know the demons and everybody trying to stop you from getting your answer, but when you're trying to get your answer, when he sifts through those prayers, he may send you an answer that don't line up with everything you want. But it's best for you. He says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light. That's all right. Folk may do you wrong, but you keep living righteous. You keep praising the Lord, and your justice as the noonday. Keep trusting him. Keep feeding on his faithfulness. And then he ends this thing right here. He said, now rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Oh, it make him mad and make him crazy. And I'm angry. God, see, stop it. God says, stop it, my child. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. I want vengeance. See, stop it. I can't stop it because they deserve it. Stop it. If you want me to do my thing in this, you stand down. See, stop it. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. See, you can't rest when you're fretting. Fretting is worration, Danny. God said, you can't do what I just told you, rest, and you fret. He said, relax. Don't retaliate. Relax. See, these are some of the things that Paul learned. And these are some of the things I'm trying to teach us. See, you want to grow in Christ. I want to grow in Christ. If I don't grow in nothing else, I want to grow in Christ. Anybody want to grow in Christ? So let me tell you something. All of this word, all of this preaching and teaching, some of y'all are going to walk out here as if you never heard this. See, I'm assigned to do this. I'm called by God, just like Paul. If I were living in the time that Paul called the churches at Ephesus all together, all of the bishops and all of them together, to give them that warning of preaching the whole counsel of God and how grievous wolves will pop up, and how to feed the flock of God, that the Holy Spirit who made you overseer. If I were living during that time, I would be in that group. I would be called in that group, Sister Reed, for him. If I were living during that time and God had me as a bishop, as a pastor of overseer, and I were living in that town, Acts 20 and 28, I would have been called. Am I right? I just wasn't born then. But man still need the gospel. Man still, Paul says, it's going to get worse when I'm gone. Jesus told Thomas, I'm impressed with Rick's because he's a Johnny come lately. He said, you think I'm impressed with you because you want to feel the nails and prints in my hand. You want to touch my side. Go ahead on and do it. Go ahead on and do it because I don't want you to be doubtful, not believing. But I'm impressed with those who are not going to see me, but yet they believe. Don't you dare let the word of God go out to you and you don't do nothing with it. It ain't going to return void, but I understand. But it don't mean you got to do something with it. And don't lie on me when you leave here. My pastor ain't preaching the word. He make up some stuff. I'm not that smart to make nothing up. Maybe if I was that smart, I could make up some stuff for you. Okay. Where did I stop at? Did I finish y'all? Down to love them? Well, I'm going to keep rolling. Okay, I see. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. See, when you fret, when you worry yourself to death, you're going to be angry. Your wrath going to be right there. Your judgment is God damn them to hell. Do not fret. Watch this. It only causes harm. See, it's going to harm you, man. He says, for evildoers, God, let me tell you something about the future, shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. He says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully all over the place for his place, but it shall be no more. Watch this. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You keep living, peace is coming. And I want to say this about David. King David learned some things about God's faithfulness. When you feed on it, you will find nourishment and strength for today, and bright hope for tomorrow. That's in that come from the hymn book, the hymn Great is Thy Faithfulness. It says, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Amen. 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 God bless you.